Welcome to Music Journeys. I'm Mike Foley. AJ Croce wraps up another edition of his Croce Plays Croce tour as he gears up for the release and new shows around a solo album due out in 2025 titled Heart of the Eternal. Admittedly stubborn about playing his own material rather than the songs of his late father, Jim, when the younger Croce began to mix in his dad's songs, he embraced that idea after feeling the happiness of the audience. AJ's Croce Plays Croce concept began gradually in 2019 and has continued because it's been so well received. Here on Music Journeys, AJ Croce talks about the evolution of these shows, the special songs that touch him the most, and we'll close things out by hearing a single from his upcoming album. AJ Croce, our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hi, folks. This is AJ Croce, and this is my music journey.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name, I've got a name. Like the singing bird and the croaking toad, I've got a name, I've got a name. And I carry it with me like my daddy did, but I'm living the dream that he kept here. Moving me down the highway, rolling me down the highway, moving ahead so life won't pass me by. Like a north wind whistling down the sky, I've got a song, I've got a song. Like the whippoorwill and the baby's cry, I've got a song, I've got a song. And I carry it with me and I sing it loud. If it gets me nowhere, I'll go there proud. Moving me down the highway, rolling me down the highway, so life won't pass me by.
In 2018, AJ Croce released a version of I Got a Name, the title track of his father Jim Croce's 1973 album. Jim died in a plane crash in 73, just days before AJ's second birthday. The young Croce picked up a love of music quickly with the help of his father's record collection.
It's how I discovered the music that would become really important to what I'm still creating, I think. You know, it was really diverse. You know, my grandfather had been a big fan of jazz and blues and had turned my father onto it. So Bessie Smith and Fats Waller and stuff like that. But Ray Charles was my gateway drug through that collection. I think when you're young, it seems like things are going sort of at a snail's pace. When you recollect all that was going on, it seems like you're doing so much so quickly. And yeah, it's just the way life is, I guess, or time.
Time. That's a huge part of your dad's music for sure. The time, you were under the age of 2 when your dad passed away. Did you have any memories, images? I mean, what stuck with you?
It's so hard to decipher between what is true memory versus what I saw in photographs my entire life and home videos and tapes of him, you know, recorded at the house. You know, those memories, they kind of converge.
As you're sifting through your father's collection, at what point did you realize the powerful mark and influence your dad had on music? And how hard was it to kind of carve out your own creativity?
I think probably became aware of it at a really young age. People were excited to meet me and I couldn't figure out why in the world they would be. You know, I think my entire life I've been sort of sometimes fearful, but fascinated by this psychology of fandom, of celebrity, of renown. It is something that's really unusual and hard to understand. And I think that's why it was so fascinating and always has been. As far as making my own mark, this is a calling for me. You know, five generations of my family on both my parents' side played music. And so for me, it wasn't about trying to be unique. It was just about being who I was. And I know that with that, I know it sounds a little naive because with that came expectations of fans and expectations of people for me to be good or for me to sound like my father, or for me to, who knows what they want, you know, what people expect. I can't tell you. I think there's a combination of things. But I was a piano player. I lost my sight at 4. And that's why Ray Charles was so influential and Stevie Wonder. Because when I lost my sight, I was already playing with the keyboard, you know, playing with this upright piano we had at the house. It was solace. It was being able to learn music. I learned it by ear, of course. It was really powerful. It was my escape and my solace. Piano player, and especially growing up playing all different kinds of music, playing jazz and blues and rock and roll and playing along to the radio in the 70s. And that was really all over the map. But I think the first time that I had a certain amount of confidence was at 12. I got paid to play at a bat mitzvah and I performed Chuck Berry and I played a Ray Charles song and I played a bunch of different things and probably only played for half an hour. But that made me feel like if I practice and I keep doing this, I could do this for a living. And then when I was about 15, I started playing with musicians that were older. That was when I started playing with my first bands. And they were, you know, 7, 8, 10 years older than me. And that gave me confidence that I was able to keep up, that I was able to play with older musicians. And then when I was 16, Floyd Dixon heard me and asked, you know, I started traveling around Southern California with him. He was a piano player, blues player, wrote Hey Bartender, Wine, 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 One Scotch, One Bourbon, One Beer. I would open up for him, then he would play, and we'd finish the show with these 1940s four-handed boogies like Meat Lux Lewis and Albert Ammons used to do. And he would always give me this sage advice. And that was a moment where I felt like I could keep up with him. And Mae Axton, when I was 17, heard me play, and she called Cowboy Jack Clement. Mae wrote Heartbreak Hotel for Elvis. She said, you got to hire this kid. And that was my first session. That gave me confidence. And I walked into a room of, you know, amazing players, you know, James Burton, Ron Tutt, and Jerry Scheff. And then B.B. King heard me at 18 and asked me out on the road. Once I was out with B.B., I knew that was what I was going to be doing. There was no turning back. This was the opportunity of a lifetime and kind of everything followed that.
And then, so, I mean, you could have just continued to do things like that, right? You could do your own thing and do your own music and tour that way. What made sense and what inspired this Croce on Croce?
Oh, yeah. This was such a natural progression, organic. Some of it came from confidence. Some of it came from my own identity because I didn't feel like there was a lot of integrity in just coming out and taking advantage of my father's name. But it was really in my early 30s. I've been working with my father's publishing catalog since I was in my late 20s. And I had 10 years before that to kind of work up to it with my own material. And I remember archiving all of his music. And one particular tape, there was these amazing recordings of old songs because, you know, my father's career was very brief, 18 months of being able to play whatever he wanted on stage, his own music. before that and right before that, he was playing in little clubs and playing to the audience, for the audience, and mostly it was all covers, and it could be blues and jazz and old rock and roll and folk songs of all variety, country stuff. This one particular tape just was so amazing and eerie. Probably 12 songs that I had played since I was a teenager. And while I grew up with his collection, I'd never heard him perform these songs. And I'd never, most of them weren't even in the collection. They were deep cuts, like You're Not the Only Oyster in the Stew by Fats Waller, or stuff by Pink Anderson, Mississippi John Hurt, things that, you know, John Hurt taught me how to play stride, because listening to Fats Waller was so much more complicated. James B. Johnson, those guys were insanely great, and I couldn't gravitate towards it until I heard a guitar player basically playing what they were doing in their left hand. And so listening to this and having grown up playing these songs, it was not just the same artist, but the same exact song after song on this tape. And I realized we had a lot in common. And it was in a really important way. We had this connection, deep musical connection and love of American music that was really palpable. And so it was at that time I started playing guitar, mostly for the sake of writing and simplifying my writing, because I knew very few guitar chords. And when I looked at the piano, I saw all of these options. I could make it really busy, really quick. And so it was at that time that I started playing through some of his songs and started bringing a guitar out on the road. And it was because of that that I thought it would be fun to throw a song of his into the show every once in a while, because no one expected it. You know, 12, 13 years into my touring career, no one would expect me to do that, because I had denied doing it. I wouldn't talk about my father in interviews. Was happy to work behind the scenes promoting his music and his, you know, musical legacy. But on stage, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I was stubborn about it. When I finally relaxed that idea and started to perform a song of his here and there, I saw how happy people were. I felt it. It was more than just nostalgia. It wasn't just because it was my father's song, but there was something about the fact that I was actually playing it and embracing it. And I wasn't trying to sound like him. It wasn't a cover band. It was just out of love. And I think that is what really founded this Croce Plays Croce tour. You know, I started doing it gradually in 2019. It went so well. It's so much fun.
Do you remember the first one you mixed in, the first song you mixed in and got that reaction?
First one I mixed in was Lover's Cross.
These tables are meant for turning. People are bound to change, and bridges are meant for burning. When the people and memories, they join all the same. But I hope that you can find another who can take what I could not. You'd have to be a super guy, or maybe a super god. 'Cause I never was much of a martyr before, and I ain't about to start nothing new. Baby, I can't hang upon no lover's cross for you.
And then box number 10.
You know they left me in an alley, took my money and my guitar too. Hello, mama and dad, I had to call collect, 'cause I ain't got a cent to my name. Well, I'm sleeping in the hotel doorway, and tonight they say it's gonna rain. And if you'd only send me some money, I'll be back on my feet again. Send it in care of the Sunday Mission, box number 10.
And then I think, you know, a couple years later, my playing improved, you know, considerably as a guitarist. I threw an operator.
Isn't that the way they say it goes? Well, let's forget all that and give me the number if you can find it, so
And then after that, it was like, I'll throw a song in and just, you know, and it could be anywhere. And I could play it on piano. Obviously, it was much easier to play on piano for me, but it became really enjoyable. It was joyful. And that's kind of what I think people get from this Croce Plays Croce show, because I'm not a cover band. We are paying tribute to his musical legacy, but it's a legacy, a family legacy of music, in my opinion. You know, I'll pepper in some of my stuff. I know what people are coming for. We're going to entertain them. But I also throw in the things that really connected us, because that was what made me want to do this so much, was the fact that we had this deep musical connection, more so than just his songs or my songs or him being my father, but the connection of the music we love.
Of the songs in your dad's catalog, what are a couple that connect you the most, that are the most meaningful, and why?
Well, of course, Time in a Bottle is the one.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you.
In a lot of ways, because it was written for me. But I think that some of the character songs were so well written, the lyrics to Rapid Roy and Speedball Tucker and Don't Mess Around with Jim.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
Interesting characters and so well written. The lyrics are so interesting, so cool. They're conversational, and yet they're imaginative in a really unique way. You can hear the influence of Lieber and Stoller. You can hear the influence, musical influence of guys like Chuck Berry and Jimmy Reed and stuff, but it's uniquely his. Tomorrow's Going to Be a Brighter Day, Box Number 10, those are a little deeper cuts. Lover's Cross is a deeper cut. These Dreams, I love playing. It Doesn't Have to Be That Way is a really beautiful song. It gets played a lot around Christmas, and it's so pretty. And it's fun to play some of these songs where, you know, Alabama Rain, where, you know, there's a different chord for every word of the song, and you don't really think about it. Like on piano, they're all passing and it's linear, so it makes sense. It's ergonomically correct. He wrote so many songs like he was as if he was a piano player, and it's very easy to play on a piano, but when you play it on guitar, you find your hands are constantly moving to different positions for every word of, you know, same thing with Operator. You know, you're in that chorus, you're just constantly changing. And I love that physicality of it. But I also, growing up playing jazz and blues and improvisational music, rock and roll, New Orleans music, I was always drawn to improvisation. And so being able to make that a part of the music, make that a part of the show, is really important. So every night we open up the request line, so to speak, and let the audience choose what they want to hear. Makes it a little hard for our videographer, who's doing this live on stage with us with all these amazing video collages going on behind us, but it is so much more fun and the audience is so engaged.
How do you play some of these songs and not just be moved to tears? I mean, I listen to Photographs and Memories, and it's probably the 100,000th time I've heard it today, and it moved me. Like,
yeah, the one that was hardest was Time in a Bottle. That was the hands down the hardest. Photographs and Memories is such a delicate song to play. It's such a delicate song. Same thing with These Dreams. It's such a delicate guitar part, and it requires, besides my focusing on my phrasing and singing and all that, I'm working with another guitar player. Obviously, we're playing a lot of those parts on these songs, which are, you know, identical to the records. And so there's this polyphonic, almost classical-like facet to the guitar parts. Photographs and Memories is a little simpler in that regard, but it's so delicate. that becomes my focus in some cases, because the way that it needs to be played takes my attention sometimes from the emotion. But I'll tell you, in the moment where there's the pause, I'll feel it. And when the audience sees the photographs and the family thing photos behind me on the screen, I can see the emotion. I can see the emotion in the audience. When they see my father kind of come alive behind us, you know, it's really, I can tell how moving it is for everyone. And so that the audience emotion affects me every night.
Photographs and memories, all the love you gave to me, somehow it just can't be true. It's all I've left of you. But we sure had a good time when we started way back when. Morning walks and bedroom talks, oh how I loved you then.
Being able to perform music is one of the greatest gifts. I don't think anyone can stay in this business if it's not their calling. You know, it's not for fame or fortune. This is really for the love of music. It is therapeutic. It's healing. It heals the audience, but it heals me when I'm performing it. All of the differences between us as people, and especially in the country at this time, I feel like they evaporate and everyone is just a collective group of music lovers.
AJ Croce, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for enriching our lives with your music, keeping your father's music alive and making it your own. It's truly amazing.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
New album coming from AJ Croce in 2025. He released this single a couple months ago. Here's a little bit of Complications of Love.
If I was old for you, you wouldn't let me be. If I was really through, you wouldn't set me free. If I was all for love, style to stay. Tried and tried to understand. Now I know I'll never know enough. It's the complications of
looking forward to more new music from AJ Croce. Also want to invite you to the radio version of Music Journeys. It airs Saturday afternoons at 3:30. Radio program frees us up to play full songs. In the case of AJ, we played the full version of Complications of Love. And as he described music as a calling, it seemed appropriate to go back to a 2014 release. We heard Call of Love. Music Journeys, the radio program, again airs Saturday afternoons at 3:30 on WCBE, streaming at wcbe.org and on the new WCBE app. Thank you, as always, for listening. And special thanks to Simon Pokrant for some editing help in this episode. I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.
Raghav Raj. I'm the student intern here at 90.5 WCBE. Did you know that you can tune into this show on WCBE's new app? Whether you're on the go or staying home, the WCBE app lets you listen to our programming online anytime. For local music, community news, and original podcasts, find WCBE on the App Store or the Google Play Store today.
Every week, it's Movie Time Reviews New Films. I'm John DeSando. Never will you be bored with our It's Movie Time Reviews because we carefully select guests who will be more interesting than I. They are definitely not stuffy film critics. More about current movies on our Back Talk podcast. It's Movie Time Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. Back Talk online at the podcast experience exclusively on WCBE.